Let's turn our Bibles this morning to Psalm number 7. Psalm number 7.
As you find your place there, I'd encourage you to stand out of respect to the Word of God if you're able. Psalm number 7. We won't read the whole Psalm, but we'll read about half of it to get started here this morning. But Psalm chapter 7, verse number 1, the psalmist says, O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us now as we spend just a few moments in it. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. It's interesting, in some Bibles you have a little, I don't really know what to call it, just an introduction to the psalm. I've had Bibles that have it and Bibles that didn't, but the Bible that I use right now does, and it says that this psalm was given to David concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. Now, if you remember the life of David, he was the shepherd boy that was anointed the king of Israel, and Saul took him into his, I guess, army, for lack of a better term, but he was a harp player. And Saul was having issues, emotional issues, because of the fact that God had rejected him. Now, God didn't reject him because God wanted to reject Saul. God rejected Saul because Saul rejected God and disobeyed God. And so God warned Saul that his kingdom would come to an end and that one of his neighbors would become king. And this just drove Saul mad. And so the men of the army thought, well, the best thing to do is bring in some good godly music. And there's a shepherd boy that can sing praises to God like none other. And so they brought David in. David would play his harp, and Saul's mind would be refreshed, his spirit would be refreshed, and things would go back to normal. Well, after a little while, though, it became obvious that David was that next king. And that event that made it obvious so that none could deny was the slaying of Goliath. That started a whole chain of events to where David became one of the commanders in the army. And he would lead the armies of Israel against the Philistines and do great exploits for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the day arrived, as they were coming back in their victory parade, that the women sang a song that David has slain his 10,000s and King Saul has slain his thousands. And so they attributed the victory to David, and finally it dawned on Saul, the king, who that neighbor that would be the next king to follow him was. And so then King Saul began to attack David and really wanted to destroy David. And this psalm is an inspiration, we believe, as a result of David running from King Saul. And probably this Cush the Benjamite is probably an advisor of King Saul against David and putting words and events or actions into David's mouth and into his life. That never really happened, just making things up to keep Saul striving after David to kill him. The devil always has his man in place who attacks the child of God who is living for the Lord, and I think that's the situation here. The devil did not want David to become the next king because David was a righteous man, and the devil couldn't do much with David. Now, he got a little victory later in David's life, but David, for the most part, was faithful. It's evidenced by David being referred to as a man after God's own heart. Now, David wasn't a perfect man or a sinless man, but a man after God's own heart. And I think this psalm helps reveal why that was. But as I title this psalm, I would just simply give it the title of Sinner Beware. Sinner Beware. That sinner might be one with Christ, and it might be one without Christ. We see both of those events being addressed here. But as we begin, we see the confidence that David had. In verse number 1, he says, to begin the psalm, he says, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. David was in a difficult situation, in a difficult place. He was living in caves and just feeding off what he could find. He was sleeping under the clouds and under the stars and always on the run and always in fear for his life. There would be times when the inhabitants of the area that he was living in would run up to King Saul and report that David is living here. Come and get him. They were hoping to get favor from the king by turning over the king's enemy. At least the king declared David to be an enemy. David never was the enemy of Saul, but in Saul's mind he was. And so here's a man that's on the run, and he says, I'm going to trust in God. And only in God. That was his confidence, and it's well-placed confidence with so many enemies and so many difficult situations. When you consider the person of David, you realize that it would have been very easy for him to trust in his personal abilities. David was a great administrator. We don't always give him credit for that, but he was a great administrator. You remember who built the temple in Jerusalem? It wasn't David. It was Solomon. But when Solomon was to build that temple, guess what he had at his disposal? He had the blueprints for the temple. God gave them to David. David recorded it all, so Solomon knew exactly what needed to go where. David began to prepare what needed to, the building materials, what needed to be used to build that temple. He put the whole priesthood in order. David was a great planner and a great administrator. And it probably would have been fairly easy for David to mount a coup against Saul with his great planning abilities. He could have rallied the nation together. But David refused to lift his hand against the anointed of the Lord. And David said, I'm going to just simply trust in God and let God take care of the things I'm facing in my life. Not only was David a great administrator, but he was also a great military general. That became obvious very quickly, a very young man. He was maybe 15 to 17 years old when he slew Goliath. And then he began to ride with the armies of Saul, and then he went into a leadership position. He just kept advancing because of the skill that God gave him and his ability to destroy the enemies of God and of the nation of Israel. A great military general. And here he's on the run from the king of Israel, a man that if he were to go against in a military battle, David, I believe, had a greater military mind than King Saul had. He could have trusted in that ability of his, of his military abilities. But he didn't. He said, I'm going to trust in God. And I'm going to let God handle all my problems. And I'm going to let God take care of what I'm facing today. But not only was David a great administrator and a great military general, he was a natural-born leader. Remember when he was hiding in the cave and all those that were discouraged and in debt, they all flocked to David. They could have gone anywhere else, but they all flocked to where he was to follow him. He was just a natural-born leader. And so he could have trusted in his natural leadership abilities to take care of the problems, the problem being on the run from King Saul. He could have used his leadership ability and gone and taken care of this Cush who was whispering in the ear untruths about himself in the ears of the king. He could have chosen any manner of responses just because of that natural leadership ability. But he didn't, did he? He said, in the Lord do I put my trust. I'm going to let God take care of the problems I'm facing. I'm going to let God deal with these issues and the confrontations I have. I'm just going to leave them in God's hands. And I'm going to sit back and watch what God does. I find it pretty amazing that David had so many options or so many reasons to trust in himself, and yet he begins this great psalm by just simply saying, O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Too often in life when we're facing problems, we don't do what David declares he is doing right here, don't we? There's so many different avenues or different answers or different things we can trust other than in God Himself. And usually God is the last one that we trust. We take all these matters into our own hands, and then when we come to the end of the rope, then we get to the point that David's at, and we say, now God, I guess there's nothing else I can do. There's nothing else my friend can do. Nothing else my family can do. Nothing else my employer can do. The only place I have left to go is before You. Too often we do it that way, don't we? Prayer is our last resort. I believe in the life of David, prayer was his first resort. And then he only reacted to how God responded to that prayer. Because sometimes in prayer, I believe God answers every prayer we ever offer before His throne of grace. Everyone is answered one way or another. But sometimes that answer is a wait. And I believe that's what's going on here with King David. Before he is actually the king. He's on the run from King Saul. Now, he's going to be king. That day will come. Now he just has to respond to what's going on. He just has to respond to the situations that God allows in his life until he brings to fruition that promise that he had given him about becoming king. And so God answers every prayer. But when he doesn't answer right away, we have to learn to say what David said here in the 7th Psalm, verse number 1, that in God do I put my trust. Just because he doesn't answer that prayer today doesn't mean that prayer fell on deaf ears. Sometimes he answers our prayer with a no, doesn't he? And sometimes that can be very discouraging. When I was in Bible college, there was a young lady that I worked with, and she prayed and asked God something, and God said no. And she became so discouraged that she dropped out of Bible college and stopped living for God. All because God said no. She definitely wasn't like David when she said there in Psalm, or when he said in Psalm 7:1, O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. She was trusting in her heart's desire. And we hear so often today, just trust your heart. It will always lead you astray. Let me encourage you, just simply trust God. David did. Even though he had so many reasons to trust in himself, he didn't. But you know, David also had a group of mighty men, didn't he? We're not going to turn there, but if we would go through the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, we'd have these mighty men listed for us and some of their exploits and some of the great feats that they accomplished. It's just amazing to think about what they did, slaying a lion. I think if I saw a lion, I don't know what I'd do. I was going to say I'd turn around and run, but I know he runs faster than me. And what do? Well, this guy said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to jump in and fight him, and I'm going to kill him, and he did. David had some amazing, mighty men. You remember when Absalom decided to overthrow the kingdom of his father, his own dad. He was going to kill his dad, assassinate his dad, and take over the kingdom. Well, news came back to David. David fled the city with these mighty men. And Absalom comes into the palace, and they're trying to decide what to do. Now, he's got the majority of the army of Israel at his disposal. And the one advice by Ahithophel says, let me gather all the troops together, we'll chase after him. And when he's on the run, when he's weak, we'll slay him. But you remember David's friend stayed behind to try to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. And his friend said to Absalom, oh, you don't want to do that. They're stirred up right now. They're mad. They're angry. If we try to fight them today, we're going to lose because of these mighty men. They're that powerful. They're that good in battle. They're that strong. They're that skilled. We cannot defeat them. Let their anger cool down a little and let us make sure we have all the armies of Israel. And then we'll go in a day or two, we'll go out and we'll fight with them and then we can beat them. Well, Absalom chose that advice over the right of way advice, but it was all on the fact that the entire army of Israel was afraid of these chosen men, these mighty men of David. As David's running from King Saul, here in Psalm 7, way before Absalom came along in his rebellion, David could have trusted in his mighty men. David could have sent them out to fight against King Saul, or even just to silence the words of Cush that was telling the king the lies about David. But again, we know where David put his trust. Well-founded. And so we see David's confidence. His confidence was solely in God in heaven. We see in verse number 3, not just his confidence, but David's confession. David's confession. Now remember, this is spoken by a man who God said is a man after his own heart. That wasn't the observation of a man. That was the voice of God proclaiming that David is a man after his own heart. Verse number 3, he says, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me. Then he says, let the enemy persecute me in verse number 5. But in other words, what David is doing is he's confessing his sin. It's been speculated that the reason why David was a man after God's own heart wasn't because of a lack of sin in his life, but it was simply because David knew how to confess the sin that he was aware of. When you read through the book of Psalms, you find over and over and over again that David is confessing sin. I believe that confession of sin is one of the lost arts of Christianity today. And I believe that's why Christianity is so weak and so powerless. Because we have all this sin in our lives that Jesus died for and shed his blood to offer forgiveness, but we refuse to confess it. Because we often don't recognize it. We're as guilty as everyone beside us to simply compare ourselves with one another. And we compare ourselves to our neighbor or that coworker and we say, wow, I'm a lot better than they are. Look at the things they do. I don't do those things. And we begin to think that we're doing pretty good. David never fell into that trap. David always honestly assessed his own heart. And as he looked at his heart, he saw the sin that he had committed against God. And because of that, David, apparently, based on these psalms that God used him to write, David was regular in confessing his sin. If we consider in Matthew chapter 6, oftentimes called the Lord's Prayer, more accurately called the Lord's Model Prayer, as he taught us how to pray, you find confession of sin in that prayer. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our neighbors. And so David was always aware of the sin in his life, and he took care of it through confession. Now, the title is of this psalm, as I said, is Sinner Beware. We haven't really gotten that far yet, and so let's keep moving. We see commendation in verses 6 through 10. Look at verse number 6 with me. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. What David is saying here is he's saying, I've got a lot of trouble in my life. I don't know that any of us in this room have ever been on the run from someone trying to kill us. I certainly would hope not. But that's where David was. And as he was living in the caves and under the trees, trying to find food to eat and water to drink, he was in a very difficult place. But through it all, he's commending his friends and he's commending his fellow soldiers to God, saying God is the one that will protect us. God is the one that will take care of us. God is the one who will watch over us. God is the one who will ultimately bring us the victory. He essentially says that in verse number 10, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. He says, my defense isn't my sword, it's not my shield, it's not my bow, it's not my sling. It's God. And so it all goes back to verse number 1. When David said, O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Because he understood God is his defense. And he was bold enough, and this is something that's always amazed me. From the moment I got saved and began to read the Bible, which I started to do as soon as I got saved. If you're not in the habit of reading your Bible, you're not going to grow. You need to do that. But I would read David confessing his sin. But then I would also read him saying, like he says in verse number 8, the Lord shall judge the people. And then he says these two words that I find incredibly scary. And we know David wasn't arrogant. But David says, judge me. Judge me. Have you ever asked God to judge you? I think that's an amazing thing that David had the confidence in the Lord to do that. But he was confident in his relationship with God, and he was confident in his regularity in confessing his sin, and he knew that he stood in a right relationship with Almighty God, and he was able to say that. And as he's saying that, he says, God, I've got my enemy, and I've got me. Now judge our hearts, judge us, and bring judgment on the one who is walking contrary to your will. But he commends God to others. In verses 11 through 16 is where we really understand the sinner beware part of this psalm. We see the consequences of God judging those that are unrighteous. Verse number 11, God judgeth the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, now the turning is the wicked, the sinner. In other words, what God is saying here is that he gives every sinner an opportunity to get right with God. But if he chooses not to get right with God, here's the consequences. He will whet his sword. God will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. Now, a military man would understand exactly what he's saying. In other words, he's going to come and fight against you, and he's going to come and cause harm, and he's going to take lives if necessary. And so David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, is saying, sinner, beware of an angry God. Jonathan Edwards preached that sermon several hundred years ago, sinners in the hands of an angry God. And we need to get back to the simple truth of that message that was preached that day, and we need to proclaim that in our communities, that there is a God in heaven that man will give an answer to, and that there are consequences if we don't get our hearts right with God. If we're not born again, we're going to face God as our judge. But what a blessed assurance to know that we can face God as our friend and as our Savior. We don't have to face Him as our judge. And that's the warning that God has given to you and to me to proclaim out everywhere we can. And that's why we distribute gospel tracts that proclaim that message, that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun and a Savior to make it possible to get to heaven. Because the consequences will last forever in the lake of fire. As we conclude this psalm in verse number 17, we've seen David's confidence. O Lord God, in Thee do I put my trust. We saw his confession, if there be iniquity in my hands. We've seen his commendation, my defense is of God, in verse number 10. We've seen the consequences, verse number 11, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. Now his contentment in verse number 17. Remember, David's in a very difficult place in life. He's on the run, at best living in caves, depending on people to bring him food or what he can take in hunting. And in the middle of that situation, he says these words. Now, it's difficult to put yourself in David's shoes, but what are you facing today? What is in your life this morning? What challenges or obstacles has God allowed in your pathway? Are you able to say, as David did in verse number 17, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. You see, that's not always an easy attitude to maintain, is it? And yet I think we would all agree it's the right attitude to maintain. That we ought to thank God for everything he brings in our life, whether it be good, whether it be bad, whether it be easy or whether it be difficult. God brings everything into our lives for a purpose and for a reason, and the motivation behind it, all of it, the good and the bad, is his love for you. And if we ever question that, all we need to do and what we need to do is we need to go back to the cross of Calvary and see our Savior hanging there by the nails in his hands and in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head and realize he loved me that much. How can he not still love me that much? And so we can, as David said, to begin this psalm, O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. No matter what the situation, no matter what the challenge, no matter what the obstacle, let's just have this attitude to make the decision today that I'm not going to complain, I'm not going to whine. Instead, I will praise the Lord according to His righteousness. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this testimony that you allowed David to write and inspired him to write for our benefit today. Father, thank you for how it reveals your mercy, your grace, your love to your children. Father, help us to have this attitude that David did, to just simply trust you and to praise you in all situations and at all times. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.